relationship. Well, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 6 this morning. Mark, chapter 6, we're going to start with verse 30 and pick up there and go to the end of verse 44. And if you have your Bible from the bottom of the chair in front of you, you can turn straight to page 1566. It says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take almost a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said 5 and 2 fish, and then Jesus directed them all to have the people sit in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. The dust from the roads kicked up and caked their feet and caked the linings of their throats. They were far from the places they called home. In fact, if you asked them which direction is home, they would have had trouble pointing the way. They had long since left their towns and villages, climbing over the countryside, coming after Jesus. And most of them, most of these people, they couldn't even see Jesus. They just followed the ones who were following Jesus, just trusting that Jesus must be somewhere in the direction where we're all going. Some of them were running ahead to get to the front of the pack. Others of them hobbling along, trying to keep up. Babies riding on mama's hips. Children skipping and playing as they followed. And all of them, Mark says, all of them were like sheep without a shepherd. They were just wandering. They were just going without regard for where they were or what time it was or what in the world was going to happen next. Mark says that Jesus had compassion on them, so he began to teach them. He began to sit down and spend time with them and teach them. And as he was teaching them, the sun began to disappear. And so the disciples took it upon themselves. They decided that they were going to try to figure out how this story needed to end. The disciples were acting like Jesus' handlers. So the disciples probably turned to each other and said, you know, nobody else is trying to figure out how this story is going to end. Nobody else seems to be concerned with the outcome of this story. Everybody just seems to be just living in the moment. And so we need to be the responsible ones. We need to be the ones who try to figure out how this story needs to end. So the disciples went to Jesus and they said to Jesus, it's late. We're in the middle of nowhere. These people are hungry. Let them go. Send them away. Cut them loose. Let them get back to the villages so they can find something to eat. Now, some of the disciples, they may have already started getting the message out among the crowds. Maybe some of them went to the people and said, okay, move along, people. The show's over. Everything's done here. It's time to go back home. Now, we don't know the disciples' motives. Maybe the disciples had a concern for Jesus because Jesus, in this moment, he's got fresh grief as he's grieving the death of his cousin, John the Baptist. And as we see in the story, Jesus keeps trying to get away. He keeps trying to be alone. He keeps trying to have his own sabbatical, try to get to a quiet place so he can be refreshed and renewed, and it's not working. So maybe the disciples say this. Maybe they say, send these people away for Jesus' sake. Or maybe they have a legitimate concern for the crowds. These people here, they're hungry, they're in need, they're far from home, it's getting dark, send them away so they'll be okay. Or maybe the disciples said this. Maybe they said this out of their own self-concern. Maybe the disciples were saying, you know, it's a long day and we're tired and we're just ready for this day to be done, so let's send them away. Or maybe it was all of the above. Maybe those were all the reasons why the disciples said, send these people away. Whatever the case, the disciples have a couple of problems here. The disciples' first problem in this story was that they felt the need to force the outcome of the story. Folks, think with me about how absolutely absurd this is. The disciples felt the need to force the outcome of the story when the Son of God was present with them. And not only was the Son of God present in the story, but the Son of God was the main character in the story. And yet they felt the need that they needed to be the ones to control the outcome. I'm glad that you and I never do that. I'm glad that you and I never try to control the outcome of our stories when the Son of God is the main character in our stories. I'm glad that we don't do that like they did, aren't you? The disciples' first problem is that they felt the need to control the outcome. Their second problem is that they were locked in to only seeing one possible answer to the problem. They only saw, they had this narrow sight. They had this limited scope in trying to figure out what the possible solution was to their problem. And in their minds, there's only one solution, and it's just send the people away. Their scope was small. Their thinking was limited. Their problem was that they were so logical. They were short-sighted. They were locked in to only one narrow solution to the problem. But folks, again, they had the Son of God right there with them in the story. And not only was the Son of God right there with them, but the Son of God was the main character in the story. And when the Son of God is with you, and when the Son of God is the main character in your story, there is not just one narrow, rational, reasonable, logical answer. When the Son of God is the main character in the story, anything can happen. The disciples' biggest problem, though, was that they did not realize that the Son of God was right there with them in the story. Oh, they knew Jesus was with them, but they failed to realize that this Jesus was the Son of God. So what Jesus says to them, Jesus says, okay, thousands of people here, you guys feed them, you 12, you go ahead and you feed them. And I imagine the disciples, their eyes scanned across the swelling crowds, and they probably heard the chorus of thousands of grumbling bellies. And I imagine they turned back to Jesus, and I imagine that they turned their pockets inside out, and they said, we got nothing. There's no way. And the disciples probably at this point, they've got their list. They start running through their list. It's a year's wages that we don't have. And logistically, how could we make that happen? And there's not a market around the corner. And if we did have that much money, and if there was a market around the corner, would it really make sense for us to waste all that money on them? So the disciples, here they are, they're just stacking up their list of reasons, but every reason they had, no matter how logical it was, no matter how right the disciples were, every reason they had did not matter one bit, because the Son of God was with them right there in the story, and the Son of God was the main character in the story. When the Son of God is the main character in your story, it does not matter how much it costs. When the Son of God is the main character in your story, it doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. When the Son of God is the main character in your story, it doesn't matter whether or not there's a market right around the corner. When the Son of God is the main character in your story, it doesn't matter whether it makes sense or whether it doesn't make sense. All that matters is that the Son of God is the main character in the story. And when the Son of God is the main character in the story, then anything can happen. So Jesus asked him, okay, what do you got? You're telling me you don't have enough, so tell me what you do have. And Mark doesn't tell us where it came from, but John tells us it came from a little boy, a little boy's lunch. If I'm that little boy, when Jesus says, okay, what do you have? What do we have at our disposal here? If I'm that little boy, I'm doing this. Nothing. What bread? What fish? If I'm the person who possessed that scarce bit of food, and if I hear that chorus of thousands of rumbling bellies, then I'm tempted to sit on it. I'm tempted to say something like this. You know what? My daddy earned it, and my mama packed it, and I'm the rightful owner, and it's mine. And if somebody else wanted a lunch today, they should have thought ahead. They should have been more responsible. They should have got their mama to pack something for them. It's not my problem. You might call that the gospel of individual responsibility. You know what? That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, somebody had to let go of those loaves and fish in order for them to get into Jesus' hands. Somebody had to let go of that little bit they had in order for it to get into Jesus' hands. And folks, that in and of itself may be a great miracle in the story. Mark is very specific when Mark says that there were 5 loaves and 2 fish. But you know, the truth is, it doesn't matter, even though Mark tells us it was 5 loaves and 2 fish, it doesn't matter how many loaves of bread there were, and it doesn't matter how many fish there were. It didn't matter. Here's why. 5 loaves plus 2 fish in the hands of Jesus equals more than enough. And similarly, 4 loaves plus 1 fish in the hands of Jesus equals more than enough. 3 loaves plus 1/2 fish in the hands of Jesus equals more than enough. 2.5 loaves and 1 fish stick in the hands of Jesus equals more than enough. Folks, 0 loaves plus 0 fish in the hands of Jesus equals more than enough. The math is the same every time. Parents, teach that math to your kids. You know why? Because the Son of God is in the story. The Son of God is in the story. He's present. He's there. He's the main character. And when the Son of God is the main character in the story, whatever it is more than enough. Somebody put them in Jesus' hands. And then he took it and blessed it and broke it and gave it. And the result was that there were 12 basketfuls of leftovers. In other words, there was more than enough. 5 loaves plus 2 fish in the hands of Jesus equals more than enough. You know, I feel this story play out personally every Sunday morning. Twice every Sunday morning, actually, as I walk up to the pulpit, my brief conversation with Jesus goes something like this every Sunday. I walk up here and I'll say something like, Lord, these people are hungry for you. And I hear Jesus say, okay, Darren, you feed them. And I'll say, I can't. And Jesus will say, okay, Darren, what do you got? And I'll say, well, I've got this Bible story, and I've got these papers with marks and scratches and stuff that started and stopped, and I've got these jumbled thoughts in my head that never seem to make it out of my mouth very well. That's all I've got. And Jesus says, okay, take that stuff and put it in my hands, and I'm going to make it more than enough to feed these people who are hungry for me. Folks, he's the Son of God, and he's present in the story. And not only is he present in the story, he's the main character of the story. And when he's the main character of the story, anything can happen. You know, Jesus didn't need the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's the God who created out of nothing in the beginning. He's the God who rained down bread from heaven for the Israelites. And he could have done the same thing again. He didn't need the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He could have had bread rain down once again, all over again. He didn't need the 5 loaves and 2 fish, but he wants what we have in his hands. However much it is or however little it is, he wants what we have in his hands, because when we put it in his hands, it does something to us. He does something to us. Folks, notice in this story, even though it's about feeding the masses of people, Jesus' attention is on the 12. Jesus' attention is on the disciples. So ultimately in this story, Jesus is most concerned about who the disciples are becoming. Jesus is not concerned with the logistical problem of feeding all those people. Jesus has that taken care of. He's concerned mostly with who the disciples are becoming. He's concerned with who you're becoming. Sometimes when you pray, you get locked into wanting that answer, that solution, that fix, that problem, whatever it is, and you agonize about what is the outcome of this prayer going to be? What is the solution? How is God going to answer this prayer? But you know what? Jesus doesn't agonize over that, because he's got that taken care of, whatever the solution is. Whatever it is that you're praying about, Jesus is more concerned with who you are becoming in the process. And the sooner we figure that out, then the better off we'll be as followers of Jesus. I'm concerned that some of us do this. What stuff? I don't have any stuff to give you, Jesus. We stand back and stand away from him, and we say something like, well, it's mine, and I earned it, and I worked for it, and I paid for it, and it's mine. And we do this. We do this with so many parts of our lives. We do it with our whole lives. We do it mostly, let's be honest, we do it mostly with our money, because we're weird about our money. We're so attached and so weird to it, and we hold it back and we sit on it. Hear the voice of Jesus speaking into your life saying, will you put what you've got in my hands and see what I do with it? And more importantly, see what I do with you. I wonder if maybe our problem sometimes could be the same problem as the disciples' problem. Their problem was that they didn't recognize that the Son of God was the main character in the story. And when you realize that the Son of God is the main character of your story, you live differently. You don't sit on your stuff. You don't hoard. You don't try to force the outcome. When you realize that the Son of God is the main character in your story, you live in a totally different way. You live with a spirit of generosity, and you live with a spirit of trust. I wonder if for some of us, maybe our greatest problem is that we're living our lives as if we're the main characters of our stories and not the Son of God. I invite you today to make him the main character of your story. Actually, the truth is, he is, whether you make him that or not. He's already the main character. It's just a matter of whether or not you get it. And when you do get it, it calls for you to live a totally different, radically transformed life, where it's no longer about hoarding and keeping and controlling. But instead, we live differently. We live like Jesus. This morning, we're going to come to the table of the Lord in just a few minutes, and we're reminded that our God is a God of abundance. He's not a God of scarcity. He's a God of abundance. He is the God who always makes it more than enough. And we're reminded that he is the God who continually gives life and provision and grace in every way. He's the God of more than enough. We're reminded this morning that his body was taken and blessed and broken and given. Just like in the story, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it. We're reminded when we come to the table that Jesus himself was taken and blessed and broken and given up for us. And when we come to his table, we accept that, we acknowledge that, and we realize that he is the Son of God. And not only is he present at the table and in the life of this church, but he's the main character of the story. And when he's the main character, he calls us to live a radically different life. I'm going to ask those who are serving if you would come and prepare the table as we prepare to serve.